Welcome to the All for Literacy podcast, hosted by Dr. Liz Brook, welcoming established and emerging voices in literacy education and the science of reading. Explore with us the connections between literacy research, educators' knowledge and skills, and the implementation into classroom instruction.
Our hope for hope, though, is that it brings people together, it brings policymakers together, it brings elected officials, it brings school superintendents, Board of Education, and everybody into the same room and say, hey, we have to do something about this. I don't care about reading levels. I care about teaching kids to read.
You just heard Harvey Hubble, the award-winning documentary filmmaker behind Hopeville, How to Win the Reading Wars. Today, Harvey joins Dr. Liz Brook to discuss the state of the literacy crisis and his advocacy journey. Here's your host, Liz Brook.
Thank you for joining us today on the All for Literacy podcast, where we connect new and established literacy research with the educators applying those ideas daily in our schools. As we work to improve access to effective literacy education, it's essential that the information and conversation flows both ways, from research to the classroom and classroom experience back to researchers. So today, I am joined by Harvey Hubble V, an award-winning documentary filmmaker and social entrepreneur whose lean forward approach to creating educational and socially conscious media is defined by seeing the world through a different lens. His recent documentary, Hopeville, How to Win the Reading Wars, adds an impactful narrative to the science of reading movement. And I'm so happy to have him join us today. So welcome, Harvey.
Hi, Liz. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm excited to talk to you more about your movie and your story and your life's journey. So we typically start here about how your interest in education and literacy specifically stems from your personal experience with school. So how did your personal experience inspire this passion for literacy?
Well, right now I'm a filmmaker. But a long time ago, I was a kid and I was pre-K and I was happy. I was so happy. Life was great. My mom thought I was great. And my kindergarten teacher, not so much. So I was a fun kid. It was 1964. And kindergarten was really different. There's a thing called the science of reading. It wasn't in effect as much in those days. So we were watercoloring and hanging out in the sandbox. First grade, we roll up our sleeves and get to work with letters and writing. It's
right.
A different world back in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a kindergarten teacher, not a neuroscientist, but a kindergarten teacher who decided to change me from right-handed to left-handed. A well-meaning kindergarten teacher, you know. Of course, they want everybody in the United States to conform. So on top of that, they didn't know what dyslexia was. So was I dysgraphic before that moment? I don't know. But dyscalculus, yeah. And I couldn't remember my left hand from my right hand.
Right.
So when I talked to my friends, Marty DeGillis, and she says, I've been in the business for 50 years. I'm like, well, I've been in the business for 50 years too.
Right.
But starting in 1964.
Your personal experience.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went to a public school system, handwriting behind. I was out of the gate, a couple grades behind. Couldn't get it. Couldn't understand it. I learned to read outside of the school system. So yeah, it's kind of strange that I make educational films now, but I kind of understand what it's like to be those kids. And I also understand, I live close enough to Yale, New Haven, and Haskins Lab that I can get mm-hmm. down there and I can talk with the top neuroscientists on the planet. So when I made Dyslexia the movie, just because I'm dyslexic doesn't mean I know what dyslexic is. So I would go off and ask people on the street, what is dyslexia? And eventually you're asking the neuroscientist, what is dyslexia? And I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but one way or another, this has been a long, crazy journey of me trying to figure out what the heck is going on with education. And I just bring all my friends along for the ride.
Well, and you said you've been in this business for over 50 years because it's been your life. And so when you take your amazing skill as a filmmaker, documentary, pulling all your friends together, trying to tell the story. What is your hope? What is the biggest hope for Hopeville of what people take away from that? and how it fuels the greater literacy conversation?
Well, in the science of literacy, there's new studies going on every day. And for instance, I know the intention of that kindergarten teacher oh so long ago, she was trying to do the best job. Teachers are nice people. They're empathetic. They care about kids. Any nation's greatest resources are kids.
Right.
So I think, and there's this thing called the internet. All the kids are using it now. And there's all this social media information that, and we constantly being bombarded by it. We want to get the right information out there. And I just like following what's going on and in improving the schools. And we travel around and see different school systems and embracing successful curriculum. And you know how they know it's successful is because the test scores go up. Not that the kids are memorizing it, but the kids can read nonsense words. Kids can read nonsense words and break things down. So they know how people read now. We've been talking for 300,000 years, human beings, our species, but we've been writing for about 5,000 to 7,000 years tops. And you can't read if somebody didn't write.
Right.
So this is all kind of a new thing in our heads. Talking is a simple thing, but it's the reading and the writing. Our brains aren't wired for this stuff. So to follow this and to get as many people to come to a film like Hopeville, you were on one of our earliest panels.
And yeah, we had the Reading League.
The Reading League. And so you have all these great leaders and these great thought leaders. And if we did that same thing, Harvey doesn't have to be there. Liz doesn't have to be there. They can have their own party without us. And they can have their own panel discussions with school superintendents, reading facilitators, the reading teachers, parents. And it's not just dyslexic kids that are having problems reading. It's second language and it's poverty. There's all kinds of reasons.
A lot of kids, yeah.
If you bring people together, they watch a film for 82 minutes, which has science and it's entertaining, right, Liz? It is fun.
It's
a nice movie.
It is entertaining, yeah.
It's a good movie. So we make it so the layman can understand it and have a conversation. And they're all learning something. And if they have a panel discussion, so our hope for Hopeville is that it brings people together. It brings policymakers together. It brings elected officials. It brings school superintendents, board of education, and everybody to the same room and say, hey, we have to do something about this. I don't care about reading levels. I care about teaching kids to read.
Right.
Because there's all this talk about STEM, science and technology and math and art. But you got to know how to read to do science.
To do all of those things, yes.
To do all those things. So that's my hope for Hopeville is it gets more people thinking about our greatest national resource, which is our youth, and to connect and make sure our kids can read.
So your hope for Hopeville is that people get together and whether or not Harvey's there, whether or not Liz is there, right, for their panel, the thing that you said that really resonated with me is to make this information approachable, right, to folks who are not reading experts. They're not the neuroscientists from Haskins Labs, but you have them in the story. And I think the thing that you said also that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, and that's hence all this discussion and arguments, is that we don't learn to read the same way we learn to talk. You actually have to train the brain and create those connections in the brain in an explicit and systematic way, right? And so I think what Hopeville does is it tries to present some of that information in a really digestible way. But the other piece that you talked about, your hope about people coming together, one of the things I loved about the documentary is that Waterbury is such an amazing community. And everybody is coming together in this effort to improve literacy. And Waterbury is not all just one demographic, one socioeconomic status, one language. It is a diverse community and a representative community. And I think showing the amazing work that those educators and students and parents and community members are doing in Waterbury is really positive as well. So can you talk a little bit more about the community of Waterbury and why it is so important to focus on more than just a single classroom in these documentaries?
Well, I'm worried that I make Waterbury look so good, everybody's going to want to go move there. And like the population would boom. So there's between 55 and 60 languages being spoken there. But in a place like New York City, there's, I heard, 600 languages being spoken there. So our pre-K teachers, our first grade teachers, our kindergarten teachers, these guys, they're warriors. But to have a community that comes together, and here's what I think that's really important, going back to Hopeville, is there's this thing called the internet. There's information on it. There's tons of information happening. But I never thought I'd have to worry about reading. Somebody else does that. I put my kid on a school bus, and the kid just goes to learn to read. But then there was this thing called the pandemic. I don't know if you remember that. We had a pandemic not too long ago.
Yeah.
And everybody started saying, hey, my kid can't read. What's going on? Well, now we find out that the percentage of people that can't read in our country, like only a third of the kids are reading at grade level. So if I had a factory or if I had an airplane and a third of the time I took off and I landed, you might not fly in my airline.
Right.
So we're now, right?
Yeah.
So this is the age of information. So now we have to figure out, is this good information? Is this real information or fake information? So with the science of reading, there's new studies coming out all the time. It doesn't mean the old studies were wrong. It just means that they're learning more about how the human brain works. We have 100 billion neurons in this jelly bag in here, and we're all uniquely different. And because we're all uniquely different, the teachers have different approaches to us, yet we're going to get all these kids to this level here in these days, and these days we're going to move them up to here, move them up to here. And by the end of first grade, you're going to know how to read. You're going to be able to get a chapter book. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
If it all works according to plan.
Right. Right. Well, and, you know, when you said about the information age and the research and how that's continuing, right, a lot of people think, A, that the science of reading is new, and we know that's not true. It's been around for decades, but it is not over, right? It's not done. To your point, one of the things that a lot of the research focuses on now is how do screens impact reading, right? And when we're being presented, you mentioned social media and the information age, it's really hard. Yeah.
Well, what do you do with the information once you have it? Mm-hmm. So now what we need is a team from top down, whether it's the mayor's involved and or a curriculum supervisor or school superintendent, board of education, a committee of reading people. We want to make sure that we have the latest and the greatest information, because it's not necessarily what they were doing before was wrong. And it's not a pendulum swinging back and forth. It's getting better.
Right.
It's getting better. You know what? It's like this. How many times did you buy the White Album in your life? Right? Came out of the, it just, yeah. It comes out. So you're like, wow, I'm going to get it on a cassette. I'm going to get it on an 8-track. I'm going to get it out on a CD. I'm going to get it digitally. And then it goes back. Now I just bought the album again. I don't know. But hopefully it's better than that, because it's remastered. It's better. And guess what? So is our education, because this isn't teaching to the test. This is, can your kid read a chapter book?
Right.
Can your kid read? But a little bit is the parents, if we're not sitting down, I mean, hey, I live in New England, man. We get a snowstorm. We sit in front of the fireplace. We lose power. We love that stuff. We read books in front of the fireplace. But you got to be able to read to do that. And then I just think if people care about reading, it opens up a whole new world to them. And knowing if your kid can read it, instead of pointing the finger and blaming somebody, it's a complicated act, this thing, reading.
Right.
And it's a new thing. As we've talked about, 7,000 years we've been doing it. Our species has been around for a long time. So we're still figuring it out. But I'm still a big proponent of reading. I think reading is a good thing.
Right. Well, and I think your movie and being an advocate really for students is what you're doing by creating this movie and supporting, making sure that people are aware of this crisis in our country, right? If they don't have their own kids, or maybe their kids fell into the bucket of the students that didn't struggle to learn to read, right? And I think you had highlighted a book by another advocate. He's an actor as well, Amir Baraka, in his book, Undiagnosed, The Ugly Side of Dyslexia. And you've spoken with so many people about this. Are you seeing more and more advocacy, whether it's through folks in Hollywood, and he has an interesting story himself. He talks about the prison pipeline. We know a lot of people have talked about that connection. But where do you see the need for this advocacy next? Is it specific about dyslexia? Is it specific about science of reading? What are you seeing as the biggest need for how people can continue to advocate for our students, making sure teachers get the knowledge they need? What do you see as the next steps?
I think the big thing, and I think the big thing with our film is I'm an optimist. I think reading is very important. I think I like your word. I mean, it's not a situation. Sometimes I tell people, no, this is a situation. No, this is a reading crisis. Mm-hmm. We have a reading crisis. There's three films made about it, more films about it. And we all work and talk together, all the filmmakers, the other advocates, the writers. You mentioned Amir Baraka, who's in our film, who's a wonderful advocate. He grew up in the projects, ended up dealing drugs. He's a man of religion, a man of God, been in prison. He's straightened his life around. He's written books about it. He works at Avocation. He advocates at centers, and one of the nicest guys in the world. You see, dyslexia doesn't discriminate, and it doesn't care if you're a male or a female, what your religion is, what your race is.
Right.
I see this pandemic, I see the reading crisis as a good thing. If we stop pointing fingers at people and just want to fix things, I think you want to know what makes America great again? We do. We make America great by working together and realizing that we're all wired completely different. It's not 1964 where the teacher wants us all to conform and all be writing right-handed. There's reasons why people write with their left hands. There's reasons why people learn differently. It's it's not a disability. It's until you're in fourth grade and they haven't been able to teach it. Then we've disabled the person. So Right. Everybody's not treated equal. We're playing a game of poker here, and we're all handed a different set of cards. So we have to understand that how we're going to get to each of these kids in each of these classrooms is we got to pull out all the stops. We have to, and that's where this advocacy comes in. And you could be a decoding dyslexia mom. You could be a Reading League educator who goes to your school and says, listen, guys, we got to do better. That's where our film will come in. And as we said earlier, Liz, you and I don't have to be there. I mean, you could have Amir on a panel. You could have Louisa Motz on the panel. You could have your reading instructor in your hometown on the panel. The important thing is we have to figure out how to get people talking about the unique situation in their town and in their community.
Right.
Because each kid is a unique human being who is going to learn to read the best that they can by what's ever put in front of them. And I just wanted to say, if we don't get them in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, they're going to become self-esteem problems, which will become discipline problems, because discipline problems and self-esteem problems and acting out is also communication.
Most often, there's an underlying reading issue there. Yeah.
Yep.
And so you said a couple of things there. I think absolutely it doesn't have to be a blame game. We don't have to be at war. Right. I was one of those teachers. I was trained. I thought I was doing what was right. I was very dedicated and passionate, but I didn't know what I didn't know. And so we need to, as Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you can do better. And I think a lot of people are at that place now. They're accepting it. We're not trying to blame anybody. We're just going to meet the teachers where they are, give them the knowledge they need. To your point, if every student has a different set of cards, we have to say, okay, where are the cards that we know about? How do we help them get the cards that they're missing, right? Like you can take that analogy a long way, but we have to make sure the teachers have the knowledge, they have the tools in the classroom to help them with effective instruction that we know has worked for a variety of types of students and move forward. But to your point, it's not about blame. We know so much more about the brain from research than we did decades ago. So it is really a perfect storm, but in a good way, right? The pandemic, we're coming out of that. People had some eye-opening experiences, and now we need to move forward in each of our communities.
See, Liv, I love that. You and I are singing the same song.
Yeah.
And you and I also run in circles where we can see these researchers and we see the schools that are getting it. And to your point, what you said, Kareem Weaver said not too long ago, raise your hand if you ever taught balanced literacy, if you started off doing balanced literacy. Everybody did because that's the bill of goods we were sold. The reason we know what's going on now with the science of literacy isn't a bad bill of goods is because our kids can read. You see, it's a test.
Right.
You give the kid a small paragraph to read. Don't embarrass the kid. The Amir Baraka story was in sixth grade. There was a girl that he liked. And he read in front of her. The teacher made them read. Like, look, this is the kid who couldn't read yesterday. Would you think baby Jesus came down and blessed him and made him read today? No. That's the teachers. We got to get through to this kid. If you're just going to set the kid up and do the round robin, set him up for it. When Amir said, they asked me to read, he knew right then, I'm going to become a drug dealer. I'm not going to, I don't need to read. That's an inciting incident that he knew when he was giving up an education because they humiliated him. So what I'm saying, if you love your kids, you just want to read and talk with them. If you see them making excuses not to read, then maybe there's something into it. Maybe you want to talk to your first grade teacher, maybe your second grade teacher, your third grade teacher. Maybe you want to explore it, but you don't want to wait for it. And the people are going to tell you, oh, they're going to get it later on. They're not going to get it later on. We got to work on this early. It's like building your house. And we'll say, we'll get to your foundation when we're done. No, you get to your foundation in the beginning.
Right.
Do I sound crazy?
No, no. And I remember hearing Amir tell that story of reading in sixth grade in front of the girl he liked. And it's just heartbreaking when you said, you know, as he said, that's when he knew he gave up on schooling and he was done. And I think also any parent, you don't have to have a degree in reading. If you're curious about what is happening at your children's school, your children don't even have to be struggling reading. You can go in and ask them, how are you teaching reading? Is it following the evidence? Can you help me understand what we're using here, right? Everybody can be an advocate, and it starts with one person asking the question and then others joining in. So it's such a powerful mission and story that Hopeville carries. And I'm curious if you have additional projects or areas that you want to amplify in terms of this reading movement. What makes you hopeful for the future? What are you hoping to shine a light on next related to literacy?
Well, yeah, I think it's an incredibly hopeful time because there's so many people coming together. And I was just in South by Southwest and I ran into some of the same people at South by Southwest EDU as I did at the AIM Academy, which is 3,000 miles away. It's a symposium where we're talking about the convergence of writing and reading. So I'm pretty hopeful that there's a lot of people working out there and that we're bringing up awareness. I'm hopeful that there's 3 or 4 films about the subject that people are doing. People are writing books about it. People are talking about it. I would like people to go see our film and get together and have panel discussions. And hey, you can watch it in the comfort of your own home. That's cool. But if you watch it in a theater, you're laughing, you're crying with other people, you get together and you say, what's next? At the end of our film, we have a call to action, which is the advocacy toolkit. And you go to our advocacy toolkit and you see who in your state's working for the cause to help teach kids how to read. So as long as kids aren't reading very well in our country, and we're like out of about 200 nations, we're like about 125. There's enough work for us to do in this field. And, you know, we care about other stuff. We care about food and nutrition and regenerative living. But you got to be able to read really to do good in this world. But it certainly helps the world if you can read. And just any way we can get people involved in their community, that's why we made the advocacy toolkit. So people could find toolkits and see other people advocating and they could get on the bandwagon. And Liz, I thought what you said was great. When the parents go in and say, are you following the instructions? Are you following the evidence-based practices? I mean, everybody's an advocate.
Yeah, just a few questions.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Harvey. I'm so glad that you made the movie Hopeville. It is a great title because it fills us with hope. And I think everybody's an advocate. Everybody can take that next step, whether it's asking a question or supporting a teacher. So really appreciate your time today.
I appreciate everything you guys are doing and all the hard work you're doing. Together we can make a difference.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Much love and respect.
And thank you to our listeners for joining Harvey and me today. At the foundation of all literacy research education is the personal experience of individual students. So creating space to hear stories like yours, Harvey, is an essential piece of improving outcomes for each child in our schools. I'd love to hear from our listeners what advocacy conversations are happening in your communities today. And let us know by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. You will find our profiles linked in the podcast description. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Love this episode of the All for Literacy podcast? Subscribe, leave a review, and join the literacy conversation.